This segment of the Financial Sense News Hour is brought to you by Nationwide Financial. For more information about Nationwide's products and services, please visit nationwide.com. That's nationwide.com. Neither Nationwide nor any of its affiliates is related to or affiliated with Jim Poplava of Poplava Securities, Incorporated.
This is the Financial Sense News Hour with the president of PFS Group, Jim Poplava. Since 1982, PFS Group has offered asset management and educational resources that have helped investors build, maintain, and preserve their wealth. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Last week on our Lifetime Income series, which we are resuming right at this moment here on The Big Picture, Carl and Tish Springer got an early retirement package due to a little surprise. Carl was 64 and he was told, well, you can take this retirement package or you're fired. So his early retirement package would give a one-year severance at about $84,000. That was his salary. Tish is 61, working as a nurse's assistant. $31,000 per annum was her income. Two incomes together combined reach $115,000. They figure they had a budget of $7,000 a month, which was originally covered by Carl's salary, but the real need amount that they were going to have was just a little north of about $10,000. They did have a free and clear motor home, which they were using to take several trips a year. So it was a total budget of about $95,000. Now, work us through this into a retirement situation.
Well, as you recall, you talked about their budget, which, you know, their basic budget was about $84,000. And as we took a look at, okay, what did they have in assets? How were we going to replace Carl's income of $84,000? The good news is he got a severance package for 1 year, so we didn't have to worry about that for a year. But if you take a look at it, they had about $700,000 in assets in a home. And against that home, they had about a $300,000 mortgage. They had a $740,000 investment portfolio, which mainly consisted of IRA rollovers, Carl's 401k, and they had roughly about $75,000 in CDs at the bank. Now, at age 66, which Carl would be after, a little bit over a year, his Social Security, he would get full Social Security benefits, which would roughly be $1,800 a month. That would be $21,600. Now, Tish was age 61 at the time of Carl's early retirement. She would have to work one more year to get her basic Social Security benefits, which would be $1,200 at age 66. If she took them early at age 62, you lose 25% of your benefits. So she would get roughly about $900 a month. And she was kind of in a high-stress environment working at a hospital here locally. It was an interesting statistic, John, that I was watching a special on TV last night where there's 10 million new people that are going to be added into the healthcare system next year, but we haven't added a single doctor or nurse to make up for that. So very high stress environment. She did not want to work to age 66. So if she took her Social Security at age 62, that would be $900 a month. That's almost about $11,000. So their Social Security income would be a little over $32,000 a month. Now, we were looking at three potential options to solve the gap between what they live on and what their sources of income. Number one would be for example, Tish to postpone retirement until age 66. That would bring in $31,000, her current salary, and some pay raises. And for Carl to go and try to find some part-time job. Now, Carl had type 2 diabetes, and the last thing, it's very difficult, as you know, John, if you're age 65, try going out in the job market and trying to get a halfway decent job. And so that was option number one. Option number two, by the way, was to sell their home and downsize. And by the way, that was brought up by Tish in our planning session, and that would be sell the house, downsize, pay cash for a home, and hopefully buy a home that was less so they could free up some capital to turn into investment income. Because the problem that they had is they had a $700,000 house and a $700,000 investment portfolio. So roughly 50% of their assets were non-producing. In fact, they had a mortgage payment. And the third option was a combination of either work or sell the home. And so those were the options that were presented. And as I talked about last week, one of their avocations is traveling in their RV. They're part of an RV club. And one of their friends lives in a manufactured home park near a golf course. And there was a house, a manufactured home that came on the market as a result of the owner passing on. The estate had it up for sale for $189,000. It was about 1,500 square feet, and that was something Tish looked at.
All right, Jim, those are the numbers outright. They also had some concerns. So before we get to the solution, we need to frame that in as well so they have a picture here.
Okay, well, their number one fear is, as many people, because Carl being age 60, well, he's 65 now, and Tish is almost going to be 62, is like anybody retired, is the result of two bear markets, the result of real estate prices being a lot lower. One of their main concerns is they outlive their assets. A second concern, as I'm sure it's going to be a bigger concern for many Americans, is higher inflation rates. They were seeing it at the store. They were seeing it at the gas pump. A third concern is one that we've all experienced, investment returns being less than expected going forward, especially with, you know, the CD rates that you're getting on cash, bond yields falling down, and also, you know, the stock market, the correction of the bear market of 2007 and 2009. So investment returns, and then something that, you know, all of us are concerned about as we get older, are medical costs, and especially with Carl's diabetes. So those were the main fears that they had in terms of facing their retirement, which was now thrust upon them a few years earlier than expected as a result of the retirement incentive program, or what could have been a possible layoff had he not taken that.
You know, Tish was talking about selling the house because she figured it was too big. She didn't want to care for it, blah, blah, blah. But given their situation, what about a reverse mortgage? Would that have worked out in this situation? Did you discuss that? And then second of all, you know, we talked about the Obamacare tax earlier on, and there was some concern about this. Did that come up in conversation as well?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about the reverse mortgage. The numbers wouldn't pencil out compared to downsizing. That means they'd still keep the big house, which is something they didn't want to do. And the numbers from the reverse option just didn't add up. They would have done much better without it. And regarding the sale of the house, by the way, they did sell it. It wouldn't have affected them, John, because as a married couple, they're allowed $500,000 of capital gain before they'd pay a tax. Now, had they sold the house, you know, if real estate prices were where they were back in 2007 when their house was worth over $900,000, that might have been an issue. But given the drop in real estate prices here in Southern California, what was once over a $900,000 house, they sold it for a little over $700,000. So that wasn't an issue here.
All right. So we know that they sold the house. Let's talk about how the solution worked out.
Well, once again, they walked away with about $400,000, a little over $400,000 from the sale of the house. And that $189,000 manufactured home price, they did make an offer, and they got that for $180,000. So that did two things, John. Number one, as we talked about last week, it got rid of roughly about $18,000 of mortgage payments. And the second thing that they got rid of was the property taxes, obviously on a $700,000 house compared to $180,000 a house. They saved about $6,000 in property taxes. So all of that netted them about a $24,000 savings in expenses. So what was once a $7,000 a month budget was reduced to $5,000. Now, against that $5,000, remember, they were getting about $27,000, or will get, one. Tish still has, I think, of another couple months before she turns age 62 and retires. So the plan is she'll retire at the end of the year. But the Social Security for both of them, Tish is $900 and $1,800 for Carl, that will be roughly $2,700 a month against a budget of $5,000 a month. So their shortfall now is only $2,300 a month. However, here's the big change. in that where in the past they had a little over $700,000 of assets, they now had an extra $200,000 to put to work creating income as part of their capital. They actually walked away from about 220, but Carl bought himself a Bayliner 17-foot bow rider, which they take on their motorhome trips. So they added about $200,000. So here's what we had to work with initially. We had Carl's IRA and his IRA rollover. That was $570,000. They had $225,000 in cash. They had the $75,000 and they had the a little over $200,000 that they got from the sale of the house. They wanted to keep about $25,000 of cash in the bank, so we had a little over $200,000, and we had Tisha's IRA of $30,000. So to work with, we had about $850,000 initially. Now, we're going to have a little more at the end of the year when Tish retires and she rolls over her 401k program, but we had about $850,000 to start out with.
Okay, when you got this solution together, remember the fears about outliving assets and market returns. Did this cohesive, did it come together to their satisfaction?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would have preferred to see them put more in dividend income stocks, but that just wasn't going to fly. I mean, given the events that, you know, most Americans experienced over the last 5 years. So what we did is we put together a laddered bond portfolio of about $500,000 at roughly, it was about 5% overall yield on the portfolio. That produced $25,000 worth of income. And the one thing that I had to show them is, look, you're going to have something for inflation protection, because we're barely going to squeak by with a surplus of about $3,000 or $4,000 above your living expenses plus your wish for less of traveling with the motorhome, because you know your monthly expenses or annual expenses are going to go up, especially with Ben running the printing presses full time. So they were pretty much in agreement, and I had to show them charts in dividend yields that even, you know, 5 years from now, if the market goes down and your dividend income is going up and it's with good companies, that dividend income is not going to change 5 years from now, even if the market goes through a correction. So we put about $350,000 in our dividend income fund, about roughly about 3%. That produced $10,000 of income. So their total investment income was $35,000. That was roughly about $3,000 a month against a shortfall of about $2,300. Now, at the end of the year, when Tish retires, two things happen. Number one, she's going to apply for Social Security. That's in the process now. She'll be getting roughly a little over $900 a month. And then she's going to be rolling over her 401k plan from work. The plan is to put that into bonds. Likewise, we're anticipating we should be able to still get that 5% yield. That is going to produce roughly about another $5,500 of annual income. So if we look at their income now, $32,000 from Social Security, a little over $40,000 from investment income. So their total income is $43,000. Their wish for list, those are the vacations in the RV. The monthly living expenses of $5,000, all of that comes to $70,000. So, John, they had a surplus of about $3,000 a year. I would have preferred to see a little bit more growth, but there's just no way that was going to fly. So we said, okay, you have to have something that's going to go up, and they understood that. And so the bond income gave them a lot of certainty in terms of knowing exactly what their income was going to be, when the bonds matured, what their principal was going to be, and that gave them a lot of stability, because that's what they wanted. They wanted that along with the assurance of Social Security. And then also the dividend income with inflation, the dividends have been going up, at least in our portfolio, a little over 10% a year. And that would handle most of their future inflation needs, because that's what we were going to rely on to not only pay for increased living expenses, because we do know we're all facing inflation now. And Ben has told us his objective is to create inflation.
So the solution here would be to downsize. That would be the first thing that you did. The second is to eliminate the property tax because of the house that they had. This would free up capital to add to their investment portfolio, which would produce income to cover the projected shortfall. And so looking at the portfolio, you had it fixed in fixed laddered bonds, dividend stocks, and that's pretty much the summary of it.
Yeah, I mean, basically, as I said, they had a house that was worth about $700,000 and an investment portfolio of 401k programs and IRAs, $700,000. The problem of staying in the big house is the house was half of their assets. It didn't produce income. And by selling the house, we got rid of $2,000 a month in monthly expenses. In addition to that, we freed up about $200,000 of capital that produced about another $11,000 of income. So the net transition between this is we cut expenses by $2,000 and we increased monthly income by $1,000. And that was really the solution to this case, the reverse mortgage, because we see a lot of those. We actually looked at that and the numbers just didn't pencil out. And besides that, they would be stuck with a big house that they both felt they didn't need. That's why they were so willing to downsize the house. But the real key here was downsizing from their house. And they're one of the fortunate few that bought their house here in California several decades ago. So even though they had seen the value of their home drop from over $900,000 down to $700,000, they still had a nice sizable equity in that home. And that made the world of difference to this couple's retirement.
I will say, Jim, that starting with this debate this week, we have a debate coming up between Vice President Biden and Congressman Ryan. That'll be the vice presidential debate, plus two more presidential debates. And the next, what are you at now here? Right at the beginning of October. So the next, let's squish it out to 2.5 months, are going to be really critical in determining the direction of where the country will be going. Will it really go over the fiscal cliff? Will we really hit that train wreck? What's going to happen with the taxes, the debt, and everything else? And believe it or not, these 2.5 months are really critical.
It really is. And as we've been trying to cover the real issues that should be addressed in this campaign, and it's amazing, John, because not only the article that was put in the Wall Street Journal by some very astute in what I call senior statesmen in this country, these are big issues, and they're not being talked about in this campaign. And we're talking about the most silly things that, you know, whether it's Romney's horse, gaffes that candidates make, and they'll spend a whole week on a gaffe as if that's the major issue. And we're avoiding the real issues that we should be talking about. And that's the sad part about this. It's just sad that we're not really addressing these issues, but we're going to try to do that with experts here on the program. In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on the Financial Sense News Hour. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant weekend.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSN. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.
This segment of the Financial Sense News Hour is brought to you by Nationwide Financial. For more information about Nationwide's products and services, please visit nationwide.com. That's nationwide.com. Neither Nationwide nor any of its affiliates is related to or affiliated with Jim Poplava of Poplava Securities, Incorporated.